Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Dan Menigan in for Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. You've got it locked in right here as we get you ready for Saturday's game at 4:30 p.m. You'll be able to watch it on ESPN. You'll be able to listen to it right here on your home of the Browns, 92.3 The Fan. Andrew Siciliano, Nathan Zagura, Gerard Cherry will have their broadcast here. It's going to be something. I don't totally know how to sell it. I don't totally know what it's going to be. It's, you know, we've got some Bailey Zappe that we're going to watch. Quarterback 4-0. We've officially done it. We've made it to the 40th quarterback. Let's hope with everything in us, we don't make it to 50. And so we go out to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. And we bring in Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. Mary Kay, we've done it. 40 quarterbacks. Who'd have thunk? Who would have ever thought? How are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Mary Kay. I'm doing really well. So Bailey Zappe will get the start for this. Is this to try to find a spark, or is it kind of just, why not? Let's see what's here.
It's probably a little bit of, why not? Let's see what's here. You've got him in the building. And I think that Dorian showed you a lot of what he was going to be about for this particular season in the previous two starts. And here's another thing to consider. When you have a young, developing quarterback like Dorian Thompson-Robinson, you don't necessarily want to shatter his confidence. And I think that if he went out there and had another poor game and threw a couple of more interceptions in Baltimore and lost in a big way and had stats such as zero touchdowns against eight interceptions or something like that, that could really hurt him, not just for here, but for elsewhere if he tries to go and get another job somewhere. So I think that it's the prudent and wise thing to do. Let's see what Bailey Zappe has. He's fresh. He knows the system. He's won four games. He's won some pretty decent games in his two seasons, and I just think it's time to give him a shot.
So do you believe the door is shut on DTR as a quarterback for the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I don't know if it is or not, because Ken Dorsey, when we were talking to him the other day, was saying that they want to continue to develop him. Now, will it actually turn out that way? No one knows for sure because we don't know the quarterback plans. We will talk to Andrew Berry this coming week, and we will grill him on those kinds of things. We probably won't get any definitive answers, but, of course, we will try. So we'll see. I don't know if DTR will come back or if they will try another young quarterback, but they will have a young quarterback of some sort on the roster.
Right, and that makes sense, Mary Kay, because it's the old Ron Wolf method of drafting. You know, it's okay, well, you take a quarterback in every single draft because either A, they become a starter, B, they become a backup that you trade, C, they become a backup for you, or D, you move on. Like, that's how they've operated forever, and it seemed to always be the thing that has made sense for this team. The other question with it, though, is do you think they'll have a veteran to go with said rookie, or will it be rookie and, like, for lack of thought, DTR?
Well, they will have Deshaun Watson, so you can't rule that out of the mix either. So it's going to be Deshaun, and then it's going to be two other quarterbacks. The only thing that we really know for sure right now is that Deshaun is going to be one of the three quarterbacks on the roster, or at least in the building when the season begins. Now, in terms of the offseason, they'll probably have four at various points or for most of it. But Deshaun is going to be in the mix. And it's just going to be a matter of, do they draft a quarterback high in the first round? Do they go out and sign a veteran out there? Like, try to see if you can't land a Sam Darnold or someone like that. That might be aiming a bit high. But, you know, that's going to be the question is, who do they add into the room with Deshaun?
So, and we're gonna timestamp this. I don't want you to get aggregated. I don't want anything to come out of it, Mary Kay. So as of January 3rd, 2025, you believe that Deshaun Watson is a part of the quarterback picture for the Cleveland Browns in 2025, correct?
Oh, yes, but I've been saying that and writing that for a long time, and I know that I've, ruffled some feathers with that along the way. But I've been saying that and writing that for weeks and weeks. I mean, you can go back probably maybe even a month now, 3 weeks or a month ago, where the headline on my Insider is why the Browns will give Deshaun Watson a chance to come back and compete for the starting job. And it sort of shook the universe for some reason. And I was surprised about that because I thought it was pretty clear that he was going to do that. So, yes, that is going to be part of the situation for them, and it's just a matter of who else they have.
And a realistic shot at the quarterback job in 25, correct? Not just like the ceremonial, okay, throw a few passes here, all right, here's Kirk Cousins. Congrats, Kurt, you won?
I would say a realistic shot at it, yes. I would go ahead and say a realistic shot at it because if he comes back healthy from the Achilles and everybody pretty much expects him to do so, then, then he's going to have that chance.
Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Every turn that Jimmy Haslam has had to speak, he has said that Kevin Stefanski is safe, that Kevin Stefanski is not going anywhere. But the one who rarely comes up with that is Andrew Berry. Do you see Andrew Berry being safe as well?
Well, in my view, the only time that Jimmy has said anything about this topic was in a brief encounter with ESPN's Jeremy Fowler at the owners' meetings last month. So that's the only time that I've seen him say anything about that. And or maybe he said something on TV at halftime of a game or something like that, maybe I missed. But yes, he at that time included Kevin and Andrew Berry in that, and I expect both to be back.
So do you expect any kind of change on Kevin Stefanski's coaching staff then in the offseason?
Well, there's always change on coaching staff in the offseason. You're always going to lose some guys to coordinator jobs. Some guys' contracts will be up. I don't know if there will be the massive shakeup that there was on offense last year, but there will be changes. I don't know exactly what those are going to be yet. We'll find out very soon, I'm sure, because guys have got to plan for next season, and the Browns have to plan for next season. So we'll know sooner than later who's staying and who's going. But right now, I can't predict exactly who that will be.
Makes sense, Mary Kay. I mean, we're all day to day. That's kind of right? How I feel. We're all day to day in all of this. Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So going into this game, is there anybody that you're kind of keeping an eye on at the bottom of this roster for the Cleveland Browns that could maybe make some kind of an impact going into next season?
Well, there are a couple of guys that I am interested in seeing what they have and what they can do. There's not a lot because there have been so many injuries that a lot of these guys have already gotten their chances and their opportunities throughout the season. But Jamari Thrash, he really hasn't gotten a chance to do very much yet, and I think he will this game because I talked to Mike Woods briefly yesterday. He's questionable with a knee injury, and I think there's a pretty decent chance he might have to sit this one out. And we, of course, know that Cedric Tillman's out, David's out, so somebody's going to have to go out there and fill in and catch the ball. So let's see what Jamari Thrash can do. And then Jim Schwartz talked up Juwan Briggs, defensive tackle, seventh rounder. Let's keep an eye on him a little bit and see what he's got. You want to see more of Mike Hall. He's shown some explosiveness, and that's good. I'm trying to think. there aren't really too many other guys right now that I'm thinking, geez, they really need to take a look at this player. Cam Mitchell will get more playing time with Denzel and Greg both out, but he's already gotten a lot in the past. So, yeah, those are some of the guys to watch.
The other one as well is, I wonder if they think they may have an option. Isaiah McGuire has looked really good for this team, and he continues to be one of those guys that I'm just impressed with every single week, how he's able to just completely disrupt what offenses want to do. Do they see a guy like a Isaiah McGuire as possibly taking on a more prevalent role in the future in Jim Schwartz's defense?
Yeah, and I didn't even mention Isaiah because he's already been thrust in there, and he's done a really nice job, and he's already a key part of the mix. But you're right, he's someone that will be a core player moving forward in 2025, along with Alex Wright coming back from his injury. So Isaiah has really done a nice job this season, and he will continue to be a key player for this team.
Do we know anything on Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah? What is going on with him? What his future may hold? Because, boy, anytime he seems to be brought up, Mary Kay, they kind of give you the generic answer and move on from there, and there is no more than the bare minimum when it comes to him.
Well, I've been writing this for a while. It's a neck injury, and it's an inexact science. You can't predict when someone will heal from an injury like that, at least not fully enough to go out and play some football. So it's not like a broken bone. It's not a ligament. It's not a surgery like that. You're dealing with a neck. It was a very scary neck injury, and we don't know exactly what his status is right now. We do know that Jason Tarver told us last week that he's still sort of traveling around with some doctors trying to figure things out. We do know that Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah comes from more of a alternative medicine standpoint, so I'm sure he's probably exploring all of his options in every way, shape, or form to get the best appropriate care that he possibly can, in addition to everything that the Browns are doing. But at this point right now, we really don't know where things stand with him, and I think it's going to be a little bit of a wait-and-see proposition. But here's hoping for him and for the Browns that he can come back healthy next year.
Oh, gosh, yeah, because he's a wonderful person on top of that. I mean, as a show, we've been very lucky to sit down with him, I think, either two or three times. And it is always a warm personality and just a fun person to talk to, who understands, you know, where football falls in his life and the level of importance to it, but then just also being a genuine good person as well. And so you want the, you know, you root for a team to succeed, but you also root for people to succeed. And he's one of those for me, Mary Kay. I will always root for that guy to succeed.
Oh, definitely. And he was really establishing himself as one of the best linebackers in the NFL. And it was really cool to watch the lights come on for him over the past couple of years and really understand where he needed to be and how he needed to be there and what he was seeing and understanding space and all of that kind of stuff. So really, as you mentioned, just a great, great guy off the field as well. Really nice linebacker, and everybody is pulling for him.
Thank you very much for the time, Mary Kay. We really appreciate it. Reader every single day, Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer. A very happy new year to you and your family, and I'm sure we'll be talking, because, boy, it just never stops, does it?
It certainly doesn't. Happy new year to you, too.
Quarterback 40. We made it, Mary Kay. We made it.
40. I can't believe it. And I've covered every single one of them. My goodness.
it's both hysterical and exhausting at the same exact time. Take care
it
and
really
talk
is.
Soon. It's a question that we all have this season. Dan Menigan in for Baskin and Phelps, 92 The Fan. We thank Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer for her time. If you missed that interview, you can either use the Odyssey Rewind app, go back about 20 minutes, or you can, of course, go to the hit it on the podcast or the Odyssey app as well, 11 o'clock, 92 through The Fan. So I asked Mary Kay which direction the quarterback room was going. And it seems like we're starting to hear it from a lot of different directions once again that Deshaun Watson is going to be in the mix, whether we like it or we don't. It sounds like Deshaun Watson is going to be in the mix. He's going to have a shot at this. And, okay, I'm not shocked. Folks, I don't think Deshaun Watson is going to take another snap in a Browns uniform in a game that matters. I just don't. And if he does, maybe he'll come in as a backup quarterback at some point. But I do not believe that Deshaun Watson is going to be the starter of this team. And that is as of January 3rd, 2025. If let's say Andrew Berry walks out onto the stage and goes, Deshaun Watson is the starting quarterback of the Browns in 2025, well, then I'll look like a dum-dum and we'll go from there. But I don't see it. I don't see a guy who is processing quick enough in an NFL, in the NFL with defenses bearing down on him. I don't see a guy who processes quick enough. I don't see a guy that can get rid of the ball fast enough. I don't see a guy who, coming off of the Achilles injury, an injury that takes close to a year and change to come back from, you can ask Kevin Durant if you so desire, it takes some time to come back and start to feel like yourself on top of it. It's not like this guy's going to hit the field and it's like, all right, athleticism is back, let's go. It's like, no, this is a serious injury. This is a life-altering injury. We will see what it looks like from there. But they need to have some kind of a plan moving forward. And it needs to be presented. And they need a plan that can get them back to the playoffs. And that's what I'm trying to look for, is the best idea that I have that could get them back to the playoffs is to bolster that defense, get that speed back that made the 2023 defense so dominant. Gosh, they were fast. It was the one thing that perpetually stood out to me with that defense is how fast they were going from sideline to sideline. They were so good at being able to capitalize on those things. And they lost that this season. They didn't feel as fast as they were in the previous year. Now, Father Time has something to do with that along the way, which, hey, Father Time's undefeated, so that makes total sense on my end. But, like, they have to be able to do that. And I say the playoffs, folks, because I will continue to think of it this way. Just get me in the dance. Just get me in the dance. Just get me in the dance. I know that I live in a world of Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson. And we can go down the line from there and then turn to the NFC and can go through all those quarterbacks on top of it. I know I live in this world of fire-breathing dragons. I get that. But if I get into the dance, I have a shot to be able to build a game plan that can slow one of them down. I have a shot to build a game plan that can really disrupt what they do and keep a game close. And all I'm saying is I just need a top 10 offense. Somebody who can execute a quarterback, somebody who can give exactly what they need, take care of the ball in a decent enough way, run the ball with purpose, be able to bring in some of those spread concepts on top of that with motion to give easier reads to your quarterback and be able to run the ball. And if I can do that, I got a shot. I know I'm not going to have one of those. This isn't the draft to get one of those fire-breathing dragons. This isn't the easiest way to go get that guy. Next year's draft, maybe. A couple other guys that are in there that could be really intriguing. But at least right now, folks, that's my plan, and that's my best bet, is let's figure out how to get the speed back into this defense, and let's figure out how to go from there. Mike is in Brecksville. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm well, dude. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Just wanted your thoughts on a QB that's out there that does have a connection to Cleveland, and what about Hendon Hooker being a big guy? The big arm can run, and the connection with Tillman, and they did quite well in Tennessee.
Ooh, that's a name I haven't thought about, Mike. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that one up. I haven't thought about him.
And he didn't play that bad, and he's learning from Goff now, being in Detroit, and then he can also sit behind and learn from, if we keep Watson, if we keep Winston, he can still learn from them, but he seems capable enough to play as well.
Mike, that's a pretty good idea. I got to do some digging and look into that. That's a smart one, man. I appreciate the call.
Oh, thank you.
It makes sense. And the reason that I say that, kind of thing, the only thing with Hendon Hooker that I think is interesting, he's older than you think. I think he's like 26 or something like that, because I think he stayed a little bit longer in college. He was coming off of the injury as well. It's a lotto ticket, and depending on what the price tag may be, I'm willing to do it. I mean, I think if he was healthy, he probably would have been a higher pick. Ah, that's an interesting one. I got to read into that. I like when I get homework. All right. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Tom, welcome to the show, man. How do you fix this thing?
Well, boy, oh boy. I need a lot of gin and bourbon to fix this thing. Just to watch him.
I understand. But,
you know, yeah, the truth of the matter is, I like what you're putting out there. I really do. But the truth, these guys, I don't think there's a guy in upper management that can help us get better.
Really?
That we have right now. Oh, no.
There's no part of this team that you're a fan of.
Yeah, the players, some of them, yeah, very much so. But, and the guy that's interviewing in, where's he interviewing today? Jets, right?
Oh, Vrabel? Yeah, Mike Vrabel.
I'm a big fan of him, but here's the thing. Stefanski has run out all kind of players while he's been here. Very talented players, or let them go. So has the general manager and the other guy, Podowski, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Di Podesta. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Di Podesta. They've all let these guys go, and there was no plan this year for in case things went wrong, especially at the quarterback position. We can't have this again. People have to be held accountable for what they do. You know, and especially you guys are held accountable for what you say. So you kind of know this. But these guys, if they come back, it's just a great big pass. And it shows how inept this organization is. I think you guys got to be, it's not going to be us because they don't care about us. they've got to hear it from the people that are on the radio all the time. Say, I can't take this again. Get rid of these guys. What have they done to stay here? Nothing.
So what you're saying is I got to start going full-blown network on people. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore?
You're smart enough, and you're very loquacious. Yes, I think you're kicking butt.
I love it.
And everybody else does. You know, you can't do this. It's a result business, right?
Yeah.
They're taking people's money.
You're right. You're right. And that's the thing, Tom, is you do have say as a fan. You know, you can not show up. I mean, that's as much as it is. But boy, this city, we're addicted to football. Everybody loves football in this city.
You need enjoyment because this life is hard enough living it. You know, and watching football and other sports, Cavs right now. Wow,
God, isn't that fun?
You know, I mean,
we're gonna get into them later on. I'm excited to talk to them later.
Yeah. Well, so. I hope that you have a good day, and I hope I didn't say anything that irritate you, but it's
For
you guys to start kicking butt.
Thanks, Tom. Take care and enjoy yourself. First of all, it takes a lot to make me grumpy. The second thing that I'll always say is I like when people disagree with me because it makes me think. It makes me see a different side of an argument. It makes me look at things through your lens of disagreeing with me to think like, okay, maybe am I the one who's wrong? Because, boy, I've been wrong before. And maybe we can all get this right together. Because we all know that the truth of every single matter lies somewhere in the middle of two polarizing arguments. So it takes a lot to truly. The only thing I ask is just don't be rude. I just don't like rudeness. So especially because we've never met and you don't know who I am. But I look at it this way. I think there will be some form of accountability that will come out of this season. I think that accountability is going to fall on the shoulders of Ken Dorsey. If you've ever watched any kind of a political show, whether it's The West Wing, Veep, whatever you want to point to, they are always notorious in these situations for having some kind of punishment that takes place to someone, and whether that's the person who deserves it or not, that's the one who ends up getting the blame. And I have a feeling we are going to get that this offseason. I have a feeling you are going to see a new offensive line coach. I have a feeling you are going to see a new offensive coordinator. I have a feeling we are going to see a new at a lot of places on that offense. Now, which direction that new goes and which direction that new comes from is going to be a very good question and is going to be something that we're all going to be locked in on. Things went very, very sideways this year. And they went sideways in a hurry. And it really fell apart because your initial option at quarterback completely cratered. He looked overmatched. The game moved too fast for him. And he got hurt. Your secondary option came in. And it looked better. But he threw too many picks for your head coach to be able to stomach it. Okay. It's understandable. Kevin Stefanski does not like interceptions. I mean, no head coach likes interceptions. Let's be honest with ourselves. But, like, Kevin Stefanski, especially in an offense that's built to take care of the ball, and especially coming from a philosophy that's all about take care of the ball, run the ball, and build it from there. I get it. And so the third option was DTR. He flopped. I mean, the guy just, he's not an NFL quarterback. Okay, I get it. It happens. He was a fifth round pick. If anybody had any eggs in the DTR basket, I don't know what to tell you. The guy was a fifth round pick for a reason. I know we could play the game where we go, well, you know, Tom Brady was a sixth rounder and, you know, Brock Purdy was the last quarterback in the draft. That's great. It's very easy to find the exceptions to the rules, but the rules are there for a reason. And yes, rules are meant to be broken, but boy, oh boy, if you're putting a lot of eggs in the basket of a fifth rounder, I don't know what to tell you. You're in some serious dire straits. And so things got ugly in a hurry. And somebody's going to have to pay the price for it. Your owner has told everybody that he talks to, coach isn't going anywhere, GM seems to be safe. So I think that means your offense is going to get overhauled. And it needs to be. This offense was horrible. It had a hard time moving the ball until one particular quarterback came in and then immediately went back to having a hard time moving the ball. Something's going to change. Something's going to change. Jimmy in Strongsville, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
I'm good. As long as Andrew Berry is in position that he's in, that is player personnel, making the draft picks, making trades, acquiring players via free agency, the Browns are going nowhere. This guy's had 52 draft choices. Only four of them, okay, are significant contributors on the team. One Pro Bowl player, okay? This guy, if he was, I know, you know, this might be a sensitive topic, but it's never addressed, all right? If Andrew Berry, you know, the NFL wants minority participation and wants that minority
Jimmy, I'm not going down that road, man. I don't think it's a results business, man.
Well, that's what it is.
It's a results business, and I don't think it's as bad as you're saying. It looks like Isaiah McGuire might be a keeper. I think Alex Wright looked pretty good before he ended up getting hurt. JOK looks like somebody that you could build around. Greg Newsome is not a bust of a pick in any way, shape, or form.
Talk over it, but you and Mary Kay. You ran Baker Mayfield out of here.
I had nothing to do with Baker, Jimmy. We're moving on. That's the rude stuff that I'm talking about. I had nothing to do with running Baker Mayfield out of here. I wanted him in the draft. I wanted Baker in the draft. I was the guy who was saying, I love his accuracy. I love his abilities. I love the way that he leads people. And he's got a cannon for an arm. He came into Cleveland and he made a lot of mistakes along the way. He did a lot of good things. He did a lot of bad things. He found himself in a position in Carolina where he got, frankly, humbled. And the humbling was needed. And the guy that you see in Tampa Bay is not the guy that you would have seen in Cleveland. It's just the reality of the situation. We all have to grow up at some point. And we all have to grow up on a lot of different things. I am not going Control-C, Control-V on bringing back the old quarterback because that's not what would have happened. Revisionist history is very, very easy to write. It's just not reality. And some people in life, and we've seen it with Sam Darnold, we've seen it with Geno Smith, and we've seen it with Baker Mayfield, and I'm sure we'll see it with other quarterbacks, they need to see rock bottom. They need to have hard times, and then they come back better. And maybe the Browns find themselves in a position where they're on the other end of one of those quarterbacks next year who maybe got kicked around, got humbled a little bit, learned a little bit better, listened to coaching, was able to process a little bit better, and could come in and be great. But we're not going down that road. This is a results business. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't. 216-474-0092. At the Sports Feller on Twitter. Let's talk some Cavs. I need something happy in my life. Let's get into the Cavs. They go take on the Mavericks tonight. It's going to be a good time. We'll get into this. We'll get into what they're able to do so well and why I love what we have, and I'm not changing a thing. Dan Madigan for Baskin and Phelps, 92 The Fan. Cavs, Mavs. Tonight, Dallas, 8:30. Sadly, Luka's banged up for this one. This is one of those like great sports questions that I always enjoy having with people because people get really mad at me for it. I'm always bummed when another team's superstar is banged up before one of these games. it always like kind of makes me sad. And as funny as it sounds, the reason that I'm sad of it is because I love watching the best of the best go up against each other. And so when guys get injured and are not available for these kind of marquee games, I'm always like kind of bummed out because I love having these litmus tests around the regular season of the NBA. I love having these moments where I can go, all right, we're going to get Kyrie Irving. We're going to get Klay Thompson, get Luka Doncic going up against the, you know, the Cavaliers of Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen. I love using these as litmus tests because I love then going, okay, so who's going to guard Luka Doncic? Because Luka Doncic is one of those guys that on paper, this roster would have a hard time with. A guy that's 6'7", 6'8", somewhere in between there. 3-point shot, can get to the bucket when he needs to as well. One of the things that the Cavs have a hard time guarding, and with him not playing, it's like, oh man, this stinks. Because I wanted that litmus test. I wanted to see how good this team is going up against one of the top tier teams in the league. And look, it's still Kyrie Irving. It's still Klay Thompson at this point in his career. I'm in. I'll watch. But so I was just like, oh man. But nonetheless, I think my favorite team, part of this Cavalier team, and I talked to Chris Fedor about this yesterday a little bit. My favorite part of this Cavalier team to this point has really been the fact that they can beat you in a few different ways. It's not like the days of LeBron where it's like, this is how we do this. We're better than you. This guy is bigger, faster, and stronger than you in LeBron James. And we're just going to run you this particular way. We're going to collapse the defense. We're going to kick out for threes. And we're just going to kill you that way. Because if you decide to cover the 3-point shooters, LeBron will go off for 50. If you decide to collapse the defense, then everybody around LeBron will get 15 to 20 and you're done. And I love the fact now that this Cavalier team can play in a way that's like, all right, we can run high screen and roll. We could bring Jared Allen up and we can get matchups that we are looking for Donovan Mitchell. And we can get matchups that we're looking for Darius Garland. And we can make this succeed and look great. And I love the fact that this is an ability that can happen. But I also love the fact that they can then dump it down to Evan Mobley and run an offense through Evan Mobley when, let's say, they decide to put their best defenders on Donovan Mitchell and take that away. Or let's say they decide to kind of rough up Darius Garland and they go, okay, let's put these two guys off the ball and we're going to run this thing through Evan Mobley. And it's just cool to see them be able to operate in all these different ways. Okay, let's run this through Jared Allen now because then we can run Mobley off a couple of screens or we can have the two big screen for each other and set some stuff up in between there. We can have that corner dive that has become so prevalent in this offense where all of a sudden you see that back cut take place from like a George Niang, a Max Strus. Caris LeVert has become really good at it too, where they're off in that corner and then they hit that back cut down the baseline, boom, bounce pass, easy layup, easy bucket. They've become so much more of a complete team. I love the fact that they have decided that we are going to play basketball in a way that gets everybody involved and more than anything else, in a way that now we have options. We can go the Donovan Mitchell direction. We can go the Darius Garland direction. We can go the Evan Mobley direction if we want to as well. We can have Caris LeVert be microwave off the bench. And then more than anything else, having that lifts the weight off of Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell. And it makes it so that those guys can actually D up a little bit. There was a great piece in The Athletic by Tony Jones probably about a week ago, where he sat down with Donovan Mitchell and talked to him. He covered Donovan Mitchell when he was with the Jazz. And so when the Cavs played the Jazz, he was in town, did a piece for it. Again, worth a read. Very, very good. And Donovan Mitchell even brought up that point that this year we have taken the pressure off of me as an offensive playmaker and have now made it that I can focus in on the defensive end. I could start D'ing some people up as well because I know that the next time down the floor, I'm not the one that has to put the ball in the hoop. I know that this offensive system that we are in and the growth of everyone around us will find the best shot of somebody here. It's not just me going pound, 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 bring up a screen, let's go. Now, that element is still in there because they're really, really good at it. But now they have other ways to go about it too. And it's all about having as many tools in the toolbox as you can so that you're not just grabbing the hammer and trying to fix everything with a hammer. You know, you can now use every other tool that's in that toolbox and can best benefit it. It felt like last year, I used to joke all the time that the Cavaliers were the team where whoever brought the ball up the floor was going to shoot at that possession. You know, it always felt like, okay, Darius Garland's bringing up. Okay, we're going to run the Garland offense now. He's going to bring it up. We're going to get floaters. We're going to do pick and roll, maybe an alley-oop, something like that. Maybe walk into a three. Okay, Donovan Mitchell's bringing it up. Okay, it's the Donovan Mitchell offense because Donovan's walking it up the floor. All right, let's get high screen and roll. We'll go to the corners on the three-point line and maybe find our way into a layup or something along those lines or a dunk or something like that too. But we're going to then run this offense. And it feels like this year they've taken those aspects and have turned it into the Cavalier offense. That to me has been the best part of this season, is the fact that they've taken all of these components and they have put them together along with motion and off-the-ball movement and the fact that they're playing 11 guys. And I talked with Chris about this yesterday because I think it's fascinating the amount of guys that they're playing. And it feels like one of those, like, you know, we all say this, oh yeah, having too many talented players. Oh boy, what a shame. What coach wouldn't want that? And you're right. Because those 11 guys get you to the playoffs. And then when you get to the playoffs, you can start mixing and matching from there. But Kenny Atkinson has done such a good job keeping everybody fresh. The fact that that Golden State game, when they had the back-to-back from Golden State, then going to the Laker game, the fact that nobody played over 30 minutes in that game told you all you needed to know. They came in with a game plan and they were able to do well with it. They got out to a decent enough lead that they felt comfortable going, all right, here comes Jaden Tyson. Here comes Tristan Thompson. Here comes the bottom of that roster. Let's get Ty Jerome a whole bunch of run. That kind of stuff means that your team is fully engaged. And hey, winning helps that. Winning does wonders to help that whole thing. But those guys are engaged and they're bought in. And it means a ton that they're able to do it. And it means that when you start getting into May, June, when the season gets later on and the basketball gets even harder, the Cavaliers are going to be in a position where in better shape than teams that are a little more top heavy and not as have as much on the bottom of the roster that they could sub in and not have the buy-in of all of those different guys. We had Coach Fratello on Baskin and Phelps. Had to have been about 2 weeks ago we talked to Coach. And he goes, one of the hardest things to get the buy-in on the roster is that you got to go up to those guys at the bottom of the bench and you need to look at them and tell them, hey, you're going to get some run tonight. I want to make sure you're locked in because I'm going to get you out there for 10 to 15 tonight. We're getting you some run. And you got to be able to help those guys out and you got to be able to keep those guys engaged with that idea. And the Cavs have done a really good job of that all season of having this roster that is deep and talented. But then understanding that, like, hey, we're going to need to get Ty Jerome some run. So, Ty Jerome, you're getting 20 tonight. We need to keep Tristan Thompson interested. Tristan, you're getting in there tonight for 7. You know, we got to make sure that everybody continues to be locked in. And I hope that continues. And I hope they keep doing that. Because right now, life is very good for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And frankly, I'm not trading anybody. I know a lot of people are circling Cam Johnson. I know a lot of people are circling Cam Thomas. I know there's a lot of different things that are out there, and everybody's looking at the next guy who could come in and help this team. I'm not trading anybody. I just look at the way this roster is, and I don't think there is somebody out there that I could point to and say, that guy is going to come in at a price tag that I feel comfortable with that I would want to make this move for. I don't want to move Darius Garland. I don't want to move Donovan Mitchell. I don't want to move Evan Mobley. I don't want to move Jared Allen. Well, that makes life a little harder to try to make a trade for a guy who can really impact my roster now. I feel like this team, if they do make some kind of a move, The only one I would do it for would be some kind of modern version of a PJ Tucker. Somebody who could kind of hit threes from the corner, a little bit of a defensive mindset, defensive bully on top of that. But isn't somebody who is a focal point, but instead somebody who can guard guys who are between 6'6 and 6'9 who could find their own shots. Somebody who could stand in front of them and make life really hard on them. I'm not making the big swing for Cam Johnson. I'm not making the big swing for Cam Thomas. I'm just not doing it. I like what's here. Right now, you have a coach who has figured out that his overlap in his team is actually his advantage. You've got guys in Garland and Mitchell who have decided to play who have really, really played defense. I can't get Darius Garland against Jason Tatum out of my head. I'm going to be talking about it for a month because it blew me away how Darius Garland looked at a guy who was 6 inches taller than him and longer than him and stronger than him and went, "You're not getting an easy bucket. I'm getting in your way. I'm making you feel my presence. You can hunt me out until you're blue in the face. I can hang." That shocked me because that's not the Darius Garland that I had seen in the past. The Darius Garland I'd seen in the past was more of like, "Hey, Dame doesn't play defense. Why should I?" That was the guy who was like, "Let's go." Now, some of that is confidence. Some of that is not having the burden of the offense on the offensive end. Some of that is also the fact that this season he didn't have his jaw wired shut for a month and was taking all of his meals through a straw. So it's very, very hard to maintain muscle when you're taking all of your meals through a straw. It really impressed me. And so that's all I would do, folks. I'd tinker on the margins maybe at the deadline, but boy, I'm not making a big deal for this Cavs team because I think they are talented enough to make this all work. 216-474-0092 at the Sportsfeller on the artist formerly known as Twitter, if you so desire. The best friend of the show, one of our favorite people, Brian Anderson, coming up next. I'm sure he's fired up about something, and we'll get it from him. Dan Menigan for Baskin and Phelps, 92 The Fan.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. On your wedding day, all eyes will be on you and your fiancé. Imagine your fiancé walking towards you looking incredible in a suit that's perfectly tailored, not some baggy overpriced rental. At Nick's Menswear, we've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties and over 60% of our business comes from referrals because we make this the easiest part of planning your wedding. For about the same price as a rental, we'll help you and your fiancé own a suit that's not only going to look great in your wedding photos, but can be worn again and again. Let us take care of the details so you can focus on the magic of your big day.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.